it's funny because at first, like, it's like, oh, you know how to make a decent peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Or you think you know how to make a decent peanut butter and jelly sandwich until you start making thousands of them. We do a lot of peanut butter and a lot of jelly. Because it literally, it might be the only meal that they eat that day. So I'm very adamant on, like, do a thick peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So it's actually a lot of fun. We just have a little over a dozen people in our house. We're hanging out. You see a lot of community get formed. And it's really cool to see friendships get made out of it too, because I feel like when we serve together, we grow together. It's really just people sitting there with plates, knives, bunch of jelly, bunch of peanut butter, putting together. Right now, it's 306 meals every weekend. And so people are just making them up for that day's run and then the next day. The labels always say Jesus loves you on it, no matter what. And then on the other side, we have a local resource label. So whether it's a case manager or if it's like showers, meals, IDs, bus passes, anything like that. I spent most of my childhood with my dad. I used to scrap metal with him. We would go into Camden in New Jersey and scrap the metal that we had in the truck each day. And I would see him, you know, buy heroin. And at night, a lot of times I would pick the lock on his door and I'd end up putting him in bed. It wasn't uncommon for me to see heroin needles. And I was very aware of what he was doing. And even the seasons where he did try to hide it, I knew exactly what was going on. So I would pray on things and I just wanted God to move. Like, fix my parents, do this thing, snap your fingers, like perform a trick. And I pushed God out of my life because he wasn't granting those wishes. I was really into cars. I loved cars. I was chasing money. I was chasing position in work and being able to just do whatever I wanted or provide whatever I wanted. And it wasn't until I, at 23, moved to Texas. I was away from everything that I've ever known. So there was a lot of solitude to like really, really like hone in and think like, what is it? Like, what do I need? What am I missing? What is not fulfilling me?
You need anything? Are you good? Sweet.
I remember hearing God like call on my mind again and again and again. So eventually I was in Walmart and I just felt like this really big heaviness to buy a Bible. When I got back to my house, I ended up putting that on my desk inside of my living room. And the Bible sat there. I remember looking at the Bible sitting on my couch and I was like, man, it's not doing like any good just unopened sitting there. And for the first time in 7 years, I had a conversation with God. I started reading about an hour every night and praying for like 20 to 30 minutes and just telling God everything in my life and all the things that I wasn't telling anybody else. And I remember sitting on my couch and feeling God's presence for the first time. And I was just flooded with emotion that I hadn't had in years and years and years. And I just sat there sobbing. It felt like this jail cell door to my soul had like opened up and like the floodgates just like came out. A week after I had this moment with God where I was like, I know you're real. And I gave my life to Christ. I felt like God was telling me that I want you to go out and feed my children and bring them my word. Austin has a very, very massive homeless population. So I had this idea of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It was 18 meals. It was the first one that I did it. And the only worry that I had was, like, I don't know how I'm gonna keep paying for this. Like, I had no job at the time. I already had debt. And I just knew that, like, it was more important for me to be obedient to what God was telling me to do than it was to worry about how I was going to continue to do the thing.
I remember the first time I met Tony. Tony was like, yeah, by the way, I feed homeless people. I'm like, no, you don't. He was like, yeah, I do. I go out every single week. I take meals out and I get it in HEB bags and hand it out to people on 7th Street. And the Lord just used that so well. And as he started inviting more and more people to come with him, it's now grown into this full-scale operation with 300 meals every single week. And it's just, it's crazy to see the Lord work.
They got to squish. And then one more, you take at the end, kind of just shimmy it in there, and then go in here. It'll be four on the bottom and then four on top.
Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all the hands that we have here, just connected and laying over the food and the resources that you have blessed us with to go out and to bring to your community, Lord. So I pray that we move today as just empty vessels, ready for you to just fill us up and use your Holy Spirit to speak through us, to act through us, and just continue to do a work that only you can do. And let us continue to just be children that are obedient to the things that you have according to our footsteps, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're heading over to our 7th Street route to hand out meals, waters, and Bibles to the homeless. I know that God is with us. I know that he has a mission for us to go out there and to share the gospel with these people. And yeah, it's even though it's a heavier situation of people that we're talking to, it can still be a lot of fun to just embrace people, bring them things that God has just providing, and to just kind of serve his kingdom together.
Good to see you, brother.
What's up, dude?
One of the things that always makes me laugh that I think is hysterical, and we have a group of people that every time we see them, they're like, hey, peanut butter boys. So it's always so cool to like just see that when you continuously show up and you build connections with people and you make friendships with them, just the joy and the excitement that comes out of us all seeing each other. And I get to come out here and I get to spend time with them. I have one dude out there that I see a lot and I love him dearly. His name's Adam. And like, I've watched his faith grow, and then I've watched him deal with a lot of oppression and a lot of just like spiritual warfare. You know, just getting to come together and just pray over him and pray those things out of him, and then, you know, in a following week see him and he's like restored and he has joy back and he has peace back, regardless of his circumstances. Like, that's what has so much value, because it's building a genuine connection and making these people realize, like, we're here to bring the gospel. I'm not here to push something on you, but like, I just want to share with you the inheritance that I've already received.
Anybody want a Bible? You want a Bible? I got you.
In my past, all I did was ask God to do things for me.
Gavin, come with me, bring someone that water.
I didn't value the cross. I didn't value his sacrifice.
Oh, yes.
You got Jimmy? Oh, is that good, Bubba?
In all of my brokenness and all of the bad choices that I've made and all the sin that I have done, I do now, or I might ever do, that there's a Savior that came, that he didn't do that. He lived a perfect life.
Anybody want extra water?
And he still decided to give his life up for me, that I got to be a prodigal son, and that I got to run home after all my mistakes, and that there was just a father that was waiting for me to come home. It is the most beautiful thing.
Thank you, man.
I love you, man.
Thank you.
How can I respond in anything other than obedience? We always hear the saying, like, you can't take it with you. You can't take the house, you can't take the car, you can't take the money, the possessions. You cannot take any of those things with you. But what you can take with you, what you have a chance of taking with you, is other people.
There he is. What up, man?
And that's only by his grace and the gift that he's given us. It's just saying yes.
We love you, bro. And God loves you. Thanks. Yeah.